Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. 3, 2, 1. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Another week, and abortion is illegal in the great state of Wisconsin. Happy Monday to you, Fancy Brian. Welcome back, you big galoot. I can't hear you, fella. Someone turn on the microphones.
It sure is Monday, isn't it?
Oh, it feels like a Monday.
Oh, it does.
You got a haircut, fella. Looking handsome.
I have lost weight, and I got a haircut, which makes me look like I lost weight.
Oh, well. You're looking svelte. I have lost weight, literally, just a couple pounds. Not a lot, but enough to encourage a chubby guy like me. So I'm good, in the right direction.
Good for you. Good stuff.
You know, I was holed up in a hotel room the last number of days. As you well know, a double convention week for yours truly. The Wisconsin Broadcasters Convention, first one I've ever been to, maybe the last. Not my favorite convention ever. I'm not a big conventioneer sort of guy. But, you know, made a couple of friends and saw some old friends and literally saw some old friends from, like, college days that are still working at the ABC affiliate in La Crosse that I used to work at. And the fact that they remember me is shocking. Shocking that I left any sort of impression.
Wow, that's pretty cool, though. I mean, those jobs don't turn over very much. That's why it's hard to get into the business a lot.
I bumped into a lot of people I worked with in La Crosse. I never would have guessed. And perhaps it's because the convention was in La Crosse. You know, the hometown TV station said, okay, everybody go. But, you know, a bunch of them, man. It's like, wow. Wow, I knew people. So still won't convince me to go back to a second convention. But maybe if they go back to La Crosse, it's beautiful there. It's God's country. And the second convention I attended was the Democratic Party convention. The DPW convention, Democratic Party of Wisconsin. So we will do some recapping on that. But first, right off the top, I'm going to need you to take a couple of show notes here. Super urgent J6 hearing's been inserted into the live lineup tomorrow, Fancy Brian. I understand there's new evidence they're going to present.
Certain things have come to light, and we will be ready, and we will be live and broadcasting whenever that is on.
You know what that's got to be? I mean, the only reason to drop it like it's hot is because you got new tapes. And the new tapes, I think, are probably from the documentarian, and that documentarian wants to drop his, documentary. So, you know, they want to use the evidence, the interviews, the raw footage, then, you know, let the guy make a buck on his efforts. But Fancy Brian, it's dropping tomorrow. High noon, we're going to play it live right here on Devil Radio in the Shaw. So, you know, democracy, it sneaks up on you sometimes with the J6 hearing. And I'm looking forward to that. Also looking forward to an appearance from Wisconsin's current Attorney General, Josh Call, joining us at 4:30 today. Josh Call, it's been too long, didn't sneak him in at the convention. So we're going to sneak him in today. Obviously, in part, he will have to comment on the overturning of Roe v. Wade. And we have gone back effectively 100 plus years here in the state of Wisconsin. The law, the governing law in the book, well, maybe not 100 plus, 150 plus, something like that. We're back being governed by an 1849 law. And I'm not great at doing math on the radio, but I think it's 2022. That's a long time ago. I'm not going to count the years, but that's a lot of years. And there's not a lot they can do about it. I'm talking about on a state level. So anyways, we're going to get the reactions, and we're going to have a couple of hot takes from the state convention. And I'm going to tell you, man, I think there were definitely some winners. And, you know, you're listening to one of the winners. You are all winners for tuning in to the live convention coverage. Appreciate our fine sponsor, Chad's Design Build Locally, for sponsoring the big convention coverage. And we were happy to provide it. That's not my first Dim Party convention rodeo. I've been to a lot of those suckers. I think like at least 8 concurrent conventions. Now, they skipped with the pandemic, but wasn't like we weren't willing to participate. So anyways, went and partied my ass off in La Crosse with all the good Dems. And it was an engaged convention. I mean, in light of the fact that Roe v. Wade overturned on Friday going into convention weekend, I think the Dems noticed. I think they noticed. I hope the broader electorate noticed. But let me tell you a couple of early hot takes, a couple of Crudy's first thoughts. Mandela Barnes won the straw poll. And if they were all competing for something fancy, Brian, it was to win that straw poll. And Mandela won. And it was a narrow victory, but, you know, in the box score, he won by 2. He beat Godlewski by only 2 votes in the straw poll. But the headline says, Mandela Barnes won the straw poll, right?
That's a huge gap she overcame to do that.
Well, the second place, I think, is a strong showing for Godlewski's campaign. In a distant third was the campaign of Lasry. And he was not apparently as inspiring in the room. I would say probably most of the people that stuck around for the speeches on Sunday, and I did. I did my job. I got up and checked out of my hotel room and went over and plopped down in the back of the room. You know, I like the back of the bus, back of the class, back of the convention hall. And I watched the fine speeches, and some of them were fine speeches. And some were less fine. And one was downright crazy. Just back guano. But anyways, Mandela Barnes won the straw poll, and that's the most important part. That's the only takeaway. For most of the people that did not attend, they're just going to hear Mandela won. And, you know, good for him. He's the front runner. Until somebody beats Mandela, he is your presumptive nominee. And I know they're all trying, but right now, Mandela, he's in first place. You got to knock off the king. And Godlewski came close. She gave a good speech. She was wearing hot pink, you know, in deference to Roe, I suspect. She is the only female candidate in the field, in the U.S. senatorial field, from Wisconsin. I believe Politico had an article already today about, you know, will Roe v. Wade shake up this race? And they did talk about the Wisconsin race. Now, Ron Johnson, the incumbent senator, well, he celebrated Roe. Celebrated the overturning of Roe, that is. And the Democrats, they were, let's just say, quite critical of Ron for that and many, many reasons. But Mandela sounded good. Godlewski sounded good. But Tom Nelson probably won the speeches. If anybody presented the best, it was Tom. I thought he was clever. I thought he was funny. I thought he had the best speech, for what it's worth. Now, the straw poll was probably already cast. By the time the speeches were actually given, that was more of a beauty contest. You know what they do, Fancy Brian? Well, it was late night with Lasry. They had the hospitality tent, and they plied you with the booze or the pizza or whatever it is they had, because I didn't actually go in the late night with Lasry party tent. Or sweet hospitality suite, if you would. And the Godlewski team, they had Bloody Marys in the morning. And I'm thinking, man, I could use one of those, but I got a long drive back from La Crosse. I'm not going to start boozing right in the morning.
She knows her audience, though.
I thought it was a thoughtful, you know, eye-opener, because many of the conventioners were out like we were until the wee hours. So the Sunday morning, she had the Bloody Marys. And Tom Nelson had a beer analogy. And, you know, he told the story, and he was telling the story of him as a beer. And he represented himself with a spotted cow. And then he described the other candidates in the race. and the U.S. senatorial race is, you know, more of your corporatist Bud Light kind of beers. And I'm not a big fan of the Bud Light, so I thought, you know, if I was going to pick, you know, like a off national brand beer, you don't want to do Miller Light because that's based in Wisconsin. And I think the implication, you know, sort of a backhanded lassery, you know, you move into our state and you think you're a hometowner, but you're not. Now, many could probably claim the hometown mantle. I mean, Mandela's a lifelong Wisconsinite. Gadlewski grew up in Great Bay. Tom, obviously, claims his own Wisconsin roots. But it was his speech and his presentation. And Fancy Brian, he did a hell of a job. I thought he had the best speech, Nelson. And after Nelson was done, I promptly walked out of the arena because I had seen enough. I had either spoken to or seen all the speeches. I saw the four major candidates, plus the crazy. And as I came walking out the back, you know, I snuck out the back because I sit in the back, as is Crudy's habit. And who should come walking down the hallway but the fresh from the stage Tom Nelson. And once upon a time, I saw a candidate coming right off the stage. And as fate would have it, I also crossed paths with that candidate. And that candidate was gubernatorial nominee Mary Burke back in, I believe it was 2014, our first official convention. And Mary saw me, and she'd appeared on the show a few times. I liked Mary Burke. I think the best speech she ever gave was in concession. But Mary Burke said, "Well, hey, Crudy, you saw the speech. How'd I do?" I said, "Mary, I'd give you a solid B." And, you know, it wasn't the lifting pat on the back attaboy that maybe she was hoping for. But, you know, it was an honest answer. So anyways, I saw Tom Nelson coming down the hallway at the convention center in La Crosse. And, you know, gave Tom a, you know, he's walking. Now he's got his show props, right? He's got his Miller, or pardon me, his Bud Light. And he's got his Spotted Cow. So I walked up to Tom and I gave the old attaboy on the shoulder and I said, you know, hell of a speech, damn fine speech, something of that effect. And Tom said, "Thanks, man." And he handed me the Spotted Cow. So I have the official Tom Nelson prop Spotted Cow. It's right there. I haven't even drank it yet. So, you know, I'm going to hold it near and dear, at least till the primaries. Come back, more Devil's Advocates. It's a Monday.
Man, I've got certain information, all right? Certain things have come to light.
Lordy, I hope there are tapes.
The suspense is terrible.
He's going to go this time.
I hope it'll last.
I don't know if you know the Devil's Advocates, but the show is kind of a big deal.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the post-convention Monday edition. The brie, well, I guess you'd call it the pre, not the brie, not the cheese, the pre-January 6th urgently scheduled special sauce. I mean, they're throwing it on a Tuesday at noon, and they weren't supposed to have any more hearings this month, Fancy Brian. So I hope it's all worthwhile. I hope they got tapes. I think they're going to lay out the documentarian tapes. The interviews of the Trump family. I think that's what we're going to see tomorrow. That's the urgency. Is Lordy, it's all on tape, and it's the Trump family. So just one man's prediction, just an early hot take. We'll play it for you tomorrow, starting on the radio at high noon. J6 Hearing 6. So we'll see how that one goes. And also, there will be coverage of the Democratic Party convention, the four that seemingly have a chance at the race, the U.S. senatorial speeches. Because I know on Sunday, there was maybe 250, 300 people in the room, Fancy Brian. I leaned over to the guy next to me and said, you know, if an average Monday afternoon I was only talking to 250 or 300 people, I'd quit this sport. So we could probably give greater lift to the speeches than, you know, just the attendees in the room. And knowing that this is perhaps the most important race in the nation, at least in my opinion, we think it'll merit the 5 minutes each. So we'll play the four candidate speeches later in the big show. Also, Wisconsin Attorney General Josh Call joining us today at 4:30. And I want to make a note. There will be one senatorial debate only during the primary. That's all that's probably going to happen. And I was working over the course of the weekend. You know, Crudy, always scheming for you, our fair audience. I was trying to scheme a candidate debate of some sort, a broadcast-worthy candidate debate. And there is one scheduled, Sunday, July 17th at 6 p.m. And it will be moderated by none other than MSNBC's Chuck Todd. What a fine representation for the Dems U.S. Senate primary debate, Chuck Todd. Also, Charles Benson and Shannon Sims, they're going to moderate the senatorial debate. Now, Tony Evers will have, I guess it'll be the Republicans. They won't invite Tony down that night. The Republican gubernatorial debate, Sunday, July 24th at 6 p.m. So two debates, and probably two debates only, in a public forum setting. And here's why. I asked one of the fine candidates' campaign team, and as fate would have it, this person's a former Wisconsin Democratic Party chair, Mike Tate. No, Mike Tate. Mike Tate's at Nation Consulting, and Mike Tate was staffing the Lazary campaign. Now, despite the straw poll, and we didn't know when I was having this conversation what the outcome of the straw poll was going to be, but the perception of the Lazary team is, you know, they're either co-first or they're close second, but they really see it as a two-horse race. Now, the straw poll would indicate perhaps they're not even part of the two-horse race, but whatever. Conversation, couple guys talking. And I said, you know, I'd really like to encourage the campaigns to get involved in, you know, a made-for-radio debate, let's say. And he said, did you see that one guy speak? He's effing crazy. And that was exactly my assessment, and no offense, but Peter Pekarsky, that was the craziest speech I've ever seen at a convention. I have no idea what you were trying to accomplish. But if I understood the nature of the speech, he was trying to claim basically every election since 2004 had been rigged for the Republicans, and therefore essentially most or all the Supreme Court justices were invalid, and vote Peter Pekarsky 2022. I'm not sure. I mean, he had visual aids. He had kids holding up like graphs, like he had done the math, like. And I'm thinking, so let me see, this Democrat in this time of big lies and rigged elections is making the case for Republican rigged elections, and therefore the Supreme Court members are invalidated or should be. I'm not sure. I was a little embarrassed for the man. Well-meaning, but not effective. Quite crazy. Was conspiratorial was the takeaway. But unfortunately, he gave license, at least in this conversation, to others that want to protect their candidates, don't want their candidates to, let's just say, have someone way down the debate stage trying to make a name on them, you know, one of the co-front runners, let's say, to their own perceptions. And I didn't see a single candidate take a whack at any of their opponents. I mean, the best we had was, you know, I'm Spotted Cow, you're Bud Light. That's the worst any of them said about their opponents. None of them really named their opponents by name. None of them said, well, my qualifications are better because this person's this and I'm a that. None of them drew distinction, which leads me to believe that Mandela Barnes may be the future nominee because he's the front runner. And nobody so far has demonstrated that they're beating the king. And the king is the front runner. It's Mandela. Mandela is your presumptive nominee unless something changes. And the only thing that has the power, perhaps, to change the trajectory of the outcome of this primary, to my opinion, was Friday's overturning of Roe v. Wade. You would wonder if there's going to be, you know, a candidate coming back from the field and overtaking Mandela. Well, it's Godlewski. Sarah Godlewski. She's the only female in the race. She did quite well in a close second place finish in the straw poll. I think Mandela had like 121 votes. She had 119. small sample, you know, just the bluest of the blue. But I can tell you, it's one of those two candidates. And Tom Nelson, you know, I admire what Tom put forth. We'll certainly play the speeches. You be the judge. I'm not here to pick them for you. I'm just here to give you Crudy's takes. You know, they're often worthwhile. Sometimes, you know, they're worth what you paid for them. Come back, more Devil's Advocates. I've got some fine sound. U.S. Senator Elizabeth Warren, she has endorsed Mandela Barnes. It's not an endorsement. I'm just saying, someone's got to beat the champ. More Devils on the other side. Phone lines open, 844-967-2789.
Grass-fed, locally raised, 100% organic. The Devil's Advocates.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Monday edition. I welcome myself back from the DPW from La Crosse. I spent most of last week there. And we're going to get to the phones. We'll welcome back the callers momentarily at 844-967-2789. Just to close the loop on the difficulty of trying to schedule a candidate forum debate, some sort of made-for-radio event. Now, WTMJ has set qualifying criterion. You got to have 5,000 donors. That's the qualifying criterion. If you don't have 5,000, you don't make it to the stage. So that includes the four primary U.S. senatorial candidates. And the only one that's close that thinks he's going to make it is Stephen Olcarra. Now, I interviewed Olcarra on Saturday night, and he is asking for $1 donations, just trying to take the numerical number of donations up to the qualifying threshold. He's a interesting candidate. He's got a lot to offer. I know my friend, former Lieutenant Governor Barb Lawton, thinks the world of this guy. So perhaps he's worthy of inclusion in the five, but you're never going to convince the quote-unquote front runners or the top four to include the rest. They're not trying to be inclusive. They're trying to win a race. So if you invite, you know, the Lazarys, the Mandelas, the supposed top echelon candidates, well, they're not going to attend if you include everybody. And now that the window is open, the window meaning the political window, I can't do this round robin, and I refuse to. And I told Lazarus' campaign, I have no intention of filling up the next month of my broadcast aisle, going candidate by candidate and treating them all equally and the same, every qualifying candidate for the ballot. Because like three of them, maybe four, have any sort of fighting chance. Right now, I can barely tell you if two do. I think right now it's Mandela by default, but that could change. But I'm not going to be able to change that, not by persuading the front runners that they should take all comers and a made-for-radio debate. So I'll keep pushing, but no promises. Let's go to the phones, 844-967-2789. Paul from Chicagoland. Welcome, Paul. What do you got for us?
Hey, how you doing?
Good, sir.
Put you on speaker so I can hear you. So you were talking about some Wisconsin politician saying the Supreme Court, you know, might not be legitimate because of election fraud in the past. And, you know, everybody talks about Florida, but Ohio in 2004 was there was some weird stuff going on. Like,
no, I remember Kent Blackwell. I remember Harrison in Florida. I just think it's a perplexing time to try and make that case when Trump's, of course, and January 6th is all about the big lie.
Yeah, but isn't it interesting that Liz Cheney is taking the side of, you know, an election? I mean, I'm not saying that the machines were used. I mean, they, you know, I totally believe Trump got his ass whooped. But the fact that, you know, Georgia just switched to machines that had some kind of paper trail. They actually count a unreadable barcode, but they had some kind of paper trail. Before that, since like 2000 or maybe even before that, they had no paper trail at all. It was die bulb machines using like Windows 2000
software, totally, like, they were totally showed to be, like, you know, very vulnerable. And then, like, before they switched this new really expensive computer machine, this is all that I get from
Brad Blog. Let me point out to you. I didn't want to accept the outcome of the U.S. Supreme Court when they overruled the Florida Supreme Court and stopped the recount in Florida. I mean, right. there was a lot of pressure exerted. And you can say, well, it wasn't violent, this supposed Brooks Brothers revolution, right. Bunch of congressional staffers in suits show up. But when you talk to the actual people there, they felt pressured. They felt under fear of violence. So that was the first example of what they tried to do, talking about the Republicans. You know, by any means necessary. Violence if required. I'm not going to speak to the deep old machines and whatever. You know, there are many times, and in fact, Roger Stone.
And what they did to the voting rolls, too.
Well, we know that
the felons, they still make it really hard for a felon to vote in Florida.
Well, yeah. Certainly and, they and do, that, and they try to turn back the will of Florida voters who tried to include felons. Once you've paid your debt to society, you should be re-included on the voter rolls.
Yeah.
My understanding is they try to make it very hard for those people. My only point is, Paul, Roger Stone accused the former governor of the state of Wisconsin of rigging 5 elections. And I'm out here, I'm a guy that hated Scott Walker's ass, and I wanted to believe. And, you know, when you hear it from a dirty trickster like Roger Stone, you think, man, that could be true. Right?
He's a rat fool.
Yeah. You know, so, yeah. But as a liberal, I wanted to believe it.
I think it's possible that they outsourced the rat effery, and that's how Trump got elected the first time, possibly. You know,
But, Paul, I'm sorry, sir. I don't believe that. I don't believe that. Certainly not in the state of Wisconsin. As I've done my own research, which means I got myself way more educated on the subject, I realize we've got a very decentralized voting mechanism in the state of Wisconsin. We've got 1,850 different polling places. There's no way you could make this coordinated thing. And I would say, as much as I didn't like the Kent Blackwell in Ohio in 2004, as much as, you know, I regretted the decision of the Supreme Court way back in 2000, Bush v. Gore, I still accepted those things as the rightful outcome, as the eventual outcome. Maybe not my favorite outcome, but you know what I didn't go looking for was evidence of a rigged election, quite frankly. And as much as I'd like that to be true in the case of the Scott Walker recall, man, he didn't win. It was screwed. It was rigged. But it wasn't rigged. It wasn't rigged. And I didn't like the outcome of the 2016 election. But electorally, Paul, Donald Trump won the election. It wasn't the voting machines. And on contrary, there were 3 or 4 million illegal aliens that voted for Hillary. Somehow Donald Trump wasn't even happy when he won, right? And yes, he got less votes. And he got less, W got less votes as well. And you think it's a majority rules. Well, that's not the rules in place. We've got the Electoral College rules in place. So there's certainly a lot of stuff that the minority is doing. And the Electoral College is really to keep the minority in power, the Republican minority, the white male minority. Gerrymandering is part of that. There are lots of ways that they use the rules of the system to try and stack the deck. But ultimately, they were the rules of the game. And Donald Trump won the Electoral College before Donald Trump lost the Electoral College to Joe Biden. And at the end of the day, I want to defend the integrity of the elections. We should all go out and vote. It wasn't rigged. Donald Trump just pissed off too many people. Donald Trump was chaos. Donald Trump let lots of people die through his inaction or specific actions during a COVID pandemic. That's why Donald Trump lost. But if that is the thing that we need as a Democratic Party to engage us, I mean, it came off as bat guano crazy to me. And I couldn't defend the candidate that was offering that. And I liked the guy. I just couldn't defend it because I don't want to be a conspiracy theorist. I just want to go out there and turn out the base and win some freaking elections. You know, we win Ron Johnson's seat in the state of Wisconsin. We win the former Portman seat in Pennsylvania, maybe John Fetterman, who currently has the lead, wins that race. And you know what? Joe Manchin, it's a lot less important. We could set aside the filibuster. We can codify Roe v. Wade. Hell, if we want to, we could put 7 more justices on the U.S. Supreme Court. And all it takes is probably 1 to 2 more Democratic seats in the U.S. Senate. And you got to hold serve in the House. And if Roe v. Wade isn't engaging enough of the electorate, man, then I don't know what we're going to do. Because the alternative to voting Democrat, if you say, oh, it's not good enough, maybe it's rigged, da-da-da-da. If you don't believe in the integrity of the electoral process, if you don't believe that we can still change things at the ballot box, and you choose not to vote, the alternative is fascism. Anyways, appreciate you listening. WCPT 820, all our Chicagoland listeners. Although, you know, he's listening real time, so they play us a little bit later over the dinner hour. 844-967-2789. Let's go to a little of the sound. U.S. Senator Elizabeth Warren. And I love me some Elizabeth Warren. If I could have picked me a president and placed her in the White House, it would have been Elizabeth Warren in the last cycle. Now, ultimately, I did refund my affection for Bernie Sanders. But I thought, you know, Bernie had lost one, and maybe that's what it took. He had to lose one to win one. I thought he was better positioned when the Democratic primary, and I think the early evidence was Bernie Sanders was onto something. Then he got down to South Carolina and all went bad. But anyways, let's see if I can find the Warren. I want to see if I can go by the rundown here. Fancy Brian, going to need your help. Please play U.S. Senator Elizabeth Warren talking about the SCOTUS ruling on abortion. Cut 23, please.
We have never left individual rights to the states.
Yeah, because not all states believe in them. More from Elizabeth Warren. Cut 24, please.
I believe, and it has been the constitutional right of women across this nation for nearly half a century, for the woman to be able to make that decision with her doctor, with her religious advisor, with her family, but not something that the government should be in the middle of.
More from Elizabeth Warren. It should be available. Cut 25.
What we believe is that access to abortion, like other medical procedures, should be available across the board to all people in this country.
Now, Warren's going to ask President Joe Biden to take executive action. And I'm not exactly clear what that would look like, but she's the first one I've heard make the advocation. Like to play it for you now. Cut 26, Elizabeth Warren.
It also means asking the President of the United States to make abortion as available as possible with the tools he has, including medication abortion, including using federal lands as a place where abortions can occur.
I've seen questions about the wisdom of that advocacy, but anyways, I know that Elizabeth Warren is trying to give her country people options. Elizabeth Warren, cut 27. GOP, well, they're still pushing extremist judges.
Republicans have been very overt about trying to get people through the court who didn't have a published record on Roe, but who they knew, wink, wink, nod, nod, were going to be extremists on the issue of Roe versus Wade.
And she describes the court, the current court, the Supreme Court, is without legitimacy. 28, please.
This court has lost legitimacy. They have burned whatever legitimacy they may still have had.
One more, maybe two more. Cut 29, please.
Let's see how much credibility those justices have now.
And one more from Elizabeth Warren. Need more justices. She is advocating for, quote unquote, stack in the court. Cut 30.
I believe we need to get some confidence back in our court, and that means we need more justices on the United States Supreme Court.
Now, during the course of his campaign speech, I believe Tom Nelson at least claimed the mantle as the only Wisconsin U.S. senatorial candidate that's currently advocating to expand the courts. Now, I think if you asked a few of them, they might have a similar avocation, But Tom Nelson is the only one that made a clear point that he is for expanding the courts. Come back with us. The Monday edition, the post-convention edition. We got a fine guest coming up a little bit later in hour two. He is Wisconsin Attorney General Josh Call. Met him. Well, I've met Josh before. Saw him at the convention. Nice to see him. Looking all tan, I asked the AG if he'd been golfing. He said, no, I got an 8-year-old. He's been swim beating all summer. That's where the tan came from. Come back with us. Crudy's still pale, like a good pale ale. 844-967-2789. Board Devil's Advocates, the Monday edition. Going to Carolina. It won't be long and
I'll be there. We better be careful because that election's going to be rigged. And I hope the Republicans are watching closely or it's going to be taken away from us.
That was a hoax, right? How to lie, you're getting better all the time and turning
all against one isn't art that's hard to teach. The Devil's Advocates. Political commentary from the back of the class.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Monday edition, the post-Democratic Party Wisconsin Convention edition. And I guess the pre-J6 Hearing 6 edition, that'll happen tomorrow unexpectedly at noon. The J6 committee, apparently they got some urgent evidence that they think you, the American people, should see it here. So we encourage you, tune in right here tomorrow at noon. Devil Radio, the Shaw, will play it for you live. Fancy Brian, Saturday, I went over to the La Crosse Center, sort of the pre-convention. You know, I wanted to go check it out. I'd been there a couple times, but wanted to see my space for broadcast and all that kind of stuff. And I get there, and the place is freaking packed. And I don't mean just simply with conventioners. Everyone's wearing pink t-shirts, and there is about a four-story step up. You basically can either go up the escalators or you can go up the stairs, and there's, you know, like at two stories, there's a landing. And effectively they were having a rally two stories off the La Crosse Center floor on the landing level. And there were a number of speakers. Democratic Party chair, our recent guest, Ben Wickler, he sort of lit up the crowd. But beyond that, David Crowley, he is the Milwaukee County executive. He had a speaking role. Greta Neubauer, she is the Assembly Minority Leader. She had a speaking role. U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin, the crowd, Tammy, they love Tammy. So Tammy was well-received. She had a speaking role, and she introduced the governor, Governor Tony Evers. Evers did speak, and he said one thing in particular, and, you know, it was amplified sound, but Tony's never like a projection guy. He's sort of a quiet guy. But he was thoughtful and he came up and, you know, I'll just set the context. I think we've got one quote from Tony from this sort of pre-convention rally they had in support of reproductive rights and abortive rights. And anyways, let's play this sound. I believe it's got one fancy brand, if you would. Governor Tony Evers, great state of Wisconsin, speaking to the issue, the overturning of Roe and how that affects his granddaughters. Play cut one.
You've heard a lot already. There's a personal issue here. I have 7 grandkids that are girls or young women. Yesterday, they were made second class citizens.
Yes.
That's bullshit.
Yeah! A somewhat salty and profane Tony Evers did get a strong reaction from the crowd. And he was quiet. You know, it kind of rung out when he said it as such. And I think that's the sentiment. I mean, people are feeling anger. And the Democratic base, and I don't think it's just Dems, but, you know, I've spent a lot of time around the quote-unquote base this weekend. They're fired up. They are angry about this outcome. They're angry that we have turned the clocks back. Somewhere during the course of the break, I started thinking, man, it's like, the 1849 law, well, if you throw 51 years and 122 on top of that, that's what, like 173 old law? I mean, I'm not great with math on the radio, but that's an old law. And it's in force today. Now, the governor shortly thereafter, Governor Tony Evers, made something of a newsworthy statement, not just a salty statement. The governor said he would offer clemency to abortion providers that were charged under the 1849 law for being providers of abortion services. The attorney general of the state, Josh Call, did also speak from the landing on Saturday, early, mid-late morning. Josh Call did effectively say that it was his intent as attorney general of the state of Wisconsin not to squander the resources, not to effectively prosecute under this law. So, you know, you've got, what do they call it? Prosecutorial discretion. Josh claims he's going to use it. And the governor says, well, if anyone's charged, I'll offer them clemency. But that's entirely unworkable. I mean, it's what they can do, but these are little reassurance when abortive care is illegal under the law, under an 1849 law. So as a care provider, Planned Parenthood can't go out there, have, you know, doctors performing abortive care under the hope that they won't be prosecuted by the attorney general. And if they were, you know, prosecuted by a local DA or whatever the case may be, that the governor would eventually extend clemency to them. You can't work. It's untenable. You know, it's not a situation that works for women or these reproductive care doctors. And quite frankly, it doesn't work under state law.
My question is about enforcement. Let's say they wanted to bring this before. I mean, obviously, they're not going to go through with prosecution, but are state troopers now going to carry a breathalyzer and pregnancy tests? How are you going to prove this? How is this going to be enforced? That's what I want to know.
Well, and the crazy thing, Fancy Brian, and I'm not going to be any sort of claim to be any sort of an expert on women's reproductive rights. I mean, we have three children. We're very happy. We felt blessed. We never miscarried. We never went through any of the trials and tribulations that so many couples do. But what I would wonder is, how did they know? You know what I mean? You put on Facebook, hey, you know, I'm pregnant. We're so excited, and something happens.
But you got to wait at least 11 weeks usually.
What, to even tell Facebook?
Yeah, to even feel like you're in the clear that you can.
Well, what if you weren't in the clear? What if you've made some sort of a family announcement, you let it slip, so excited? I mean, I was telling friends of mine the day my wife handed me the stick, day one, I was telling people. You know, now, thankfully, we had a beautiful child and one more subsequent to that. But what have you, you know, told your friends and family and then you subsequently had a miscarriage? Are you now subject to criminal investigation? How do you prove that you didn't? You know what I mean? This is a very intrusive set of circumstances that's going to come next, because effectively you're going to what? Investigate a woman's menstrual cycle? It's all open game. It's evidentiary pursuit. Because how do you prove or disprove the crime? You know, now you've criminalized a woman's body. And now how are you going to enforce that upon her? Well, of course, you got to further invade her privacy. To gain the evidence you would need for a successful prosecution. So, I mean, it's going to be worse and worse from here. And I'm not even talking about a slippery slope on other non-enumerated personal liberties that had been extended, you know, by the Supreme Court in their interpretation of the Constitution. But now, you know, Alito and Thomas just think are, you know, their old-fashioned precedent. You know, okay to quote some sort of 16th century English common law. Now that's binding. But this newfangled women's rights, let's take them all. Come back. Hour two of the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. We've got a fine guest joining. He is Wisconsin Attorney General Josh Call at 4:30.
That's the issue of stare decisis.
That's bullshit.